The first day of my sabbatical, I woke up in Vancouver, staying with my sister before we went to Arrow, and I opened my Bible to this passage, Isaiah 55, and I just want to read to you a couple of verses. I want to dive deeper into this text next week, we'll have an extended look. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come. Buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. I read that at the beginning of June and I felt like it was a personal invitation from God to spend some time eating with him, and a promise that he would fill me up. And today marks 1 year. A year ago today, we were coming into this room for the first time after a year away and our building project and all the work leading up to that. And I would have to say some of the highest pace, most going on things that I've ever had in my ministry career. Even though I'm doing God's work, sometimes when you're just rolling a million miles an hour, you can be doing it without God sometimes, or kind of fast food, right, on the fly. And if you were to ask me what were some of my favorite moments, some of them we've shared about and family time, but some of them also were these moments here that I want to show you a few pictures of. This is on a kayak at about 6:30 in the morning in the ocean by Keats Island. This is on a plateau at about 6 o'clock in the morning in Tibet. This is a hill, a little hike over above Penang, about 1,500 feet that I climbed in the morning, and it overlooks the city. This is a sunrise at Ghost Lake in early August. This is the edge of the Elbow River in Bragg Creek Provincial Park. This is the Kananaskis River at about 6:30 in the morning near our campsite. This is by Eagle Lake and James Falls up near Yahatinda Ranch, near the Red Deer River. That day in particular, I borrowed Rem Vlasblom's bivy sack, and I got on my fat bike and rode in, and you're able to build fires still there in the middle of all this fire stuff this summer. And I think I partly prayed that I wouldn't get eaten alive as I was camping all by myself in this random spot. But I read books. I read extended portions of scripture, entire books of the Bible. I prayed. I even tried singing by myself because I felt God wanted me to, and I'm glad no one was there. It was kind of weird, but I felt like I was obeying God, just singing some songs to him by myself. Those times when I woke up early and just prayed and read, and I even wrote in a journal, which is not my favorite discipline, I didn't accomplish anything there other than just spending some time with God. They were, in a very real sense, spiritual meals for me. And so much of my calling, my work is about, and what is going to go on here in my life now is about the demands, work, responsibilities, people around me that do deserve some of my time, projects that require attention. There's things at home I need to catch up on, things I've missed. There's family responsibilities, especially now that we're into fall and that tsunami of activities that comes along with life in the fall. I was saying to the first service, how many of you spent hours like me filling out forms and releases for your children and their school? Holy cow. And then there's the stimulus of what is going on in our world right now, politically, pipelines getting canceled, op-ed pieces for the New York Times, NAFTA negotiations, things happening all around the world, and what do we do with those and how do they affect us? All of that is coming at us so fast, and we get so immersed in our world of business and getting it done, but it leaves me and maybe you, and I don't think that a pastor's life really, for those of you who are professionals, who are running the show in your homes, that really it's that much different. It's just a different kind of work. And the demands are coming at us so fast that it leaves us hungry for the person we are created for, to connect with the person who made you, who gave you life, as we saw in that psalm that we read in 139, that he's planned out every day for you in his book, the one who died for you. We can neglect that and we get hungry. And some of the best meals for me were when I just spent time and hung out with him, where I could just listen. This sounds weird, but I even smelled. There was a number of times I'm like, wow, it smells like summer. It smells like the ocean. It smells like China. So many of it, we're just rolling along so fast, I don't even have time to look, never mind smell anything. And the times that I responded to that invitation to come, I found I was satisfied and I was eager to come back for the next meal. And God kept his promise to quench my thirst, even though there was no like miraculous time on the Mount of Transfiguration that I kind of hoped that maybe it would happen. And it didn't, but God quenched my thirst nonetheless. And so I want to make an invitation to you as we enter into the fall. School, work, routine, making meals, cleaning them up, caring for new babies, caring for aging parents, surprises that are going to come, both good and bad. Remember what your soul, what our souls are craving, what our spirits are longing for is not achieving all that stuff, getting the jobs done, being successful, finding out the answer to all our problems. True satisfaction is found in Jesus alone, which is why we're here in this room right now. I think a lot of us, right? Because we believe or are seeking to believe that when Jesus told us about himself, he was telling the truth. John 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And so we get this morning an invitation to this meal, which focuses us on the bread of life, which brings us together as a family. And I want to encourage you to respond to that invitation to engage with the living God this morning. And I also would invite us as a church family to go deeper this year, beyond just let's have a great fall of church services and let's do some great ministry and let's have some lots of programs going on where we're serving people. That's good. But let's go after the living water together, the bread of life. And that's what this table is about. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. This meal is for anyone who has said yes to that invitation that Jesus gives every person to come to him for life and for satisfaction. And if you have said yes to Jesus, or you would be willing to say yes to Jesus this morning, you are welcome here, even if this would be your first time. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read an invitation to the table. I'm going to invite you to come. We have a gluten-free station, which is the one on this side of the table, and then three others. Rip a piece off of bread. And I just want to invite you to take a big chunk. We have lots of bread. And so if you come off with a big hunk that takes you six bites, there's no rule that says you should be able to swallow communion in one bite, okay? And I just feel like the meal that we are invited to is not a paltry one where you get a little, even though you only get a shot of the cup. But take a cup. You can take it in return and eat leisurely. You can drink it right there and put the cup in one of the baskets. Julie's going to sing a song, which I think some of you have probably heard recently, that I think speaks about the invitation. As she's doing that, we can get in a line, but there's no rule that you have to get in line. So just, I know we have to stumble all over each other in the rows, so let's try to be orderly. But if you just want to sit there and pray with someone next to you, turn around, talk to someone, you want to do something quiet, that's fine. But let's take our time, and don't feel that you need to spend all your time in line. We'll get there in the course of time. And yeah, grab a piece of bread, take a cup. And those of you who are in the balcony, there is a table set for you up there. Although if you want to come and join us down here, you'd be welcome to, although it's a little twisty to get down here. Why don't you just get in a spot where you can receive an invitation from the Lord this morning. I want to read a poem, a prayer that we as a staff heard just on Tuesday, written by Jan Richardson, and maybe it'll be an invitation for us to the table this morning or afternoon. To your table, you bid us come. You have set the places, you have poured the wine, and there is always room, you say, for one more. And so we come, from the streets and from the alleys we come, from the deserts and from the hills we come, from the ravages of poverty and from the palaces of privilege we come, running, limping, carried we come. We are bloodied with our wars, we are wearied with our wounds. We carry our dead with us, and we reckon with their ghosts. We hold the seeds of healing. We dream of a new creation. We know the things that make for peace, and we struggle to give them wings. And yet, to your table we come. Hungering for your bread, we come. Thirsting for your wine, we come. Singing your song in every language, speaking your name in every tongue, in conflict and in communion, in discord and in desire, we come. O God of wisdom, we come. Why don't you come?